Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
I want you to take your Bibles and open them up to Nehemiah chapter 1. Nehemiah chapter 1. And I want to, I'm going to be talking about prayer and fasting tonight. I have not been one necessarily to have done a lot of fasting, but I have done some fasting, but this is the first time I've really taught about fasting, and I want to do that tonight, and I'm going to review a little bit about what we talked about this morning. But I want to go to the Lord in prayer because there's something heavy on my heart. My brother-in-law, Kelly's sister, Terry's husband, Scott, is in Asheville, North Carolina right now. He's been in Bryson City, and he was in a bicycle accident, mountain biking, about 2 hours ago. And they took him to the hospital in Bryson City and sewed his head up. I don't know all the details, but they did a scan and found a blood clot on his brain. And they have rushed him to Asheville by ambulance. And I don't know if they're in transit right now. I don't know what's going on there. But I would like to lead us in a word of prayer. And I'm calling upon the Lord to help in this situation right now. And I know there have to be other situations that you have. And so I'm going to be quiet for a moment. Would you take the situations that you have to the Lord in prayer, in quiet prayer, and then I'm going to pray out loud and close our time of prayer right now. Let's bow our heads and hearts in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight as a church family, and we pray for the needs of the people that we love, and perhaps those that need Christ, perhaps those in our family. And Lord, I specifically bring Scott to you right now, who may be in transit to Asheville. I pray, Lord, that you give doctors wisdom as they work on him. And Lord, we just ask for your healing power and your protection and provision to rest upon his life and his family. I pray you'd wrap your arms of love around them and meet their need. I thank you, Lord, that Scott loves you, he lives for you, and that it is well with his soul. But Lord, I pray that you would help him physically right now as he's had this accident, mountain biking. And Lord, I pray for the rest of our fellowship and for those that our body has lifted up to you in silent prayer. Lord, I pray that you would meet the needs of those lives as well. Lord, we love you and we praise you and we thank you that it's never an interruption for us to come to you in prayer. We thank you that when we call upon you, that you are there to hear us and answer us and show us great and mighty things that we know not of. Bless this time we have together tonight in your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for doing that, for agreeing with me in prayer. This morning, we were in Acts chapter 13. The church in Antioch fasted and prayed. As I was studying that this week, the Lord laid it upon my heart that there are some similarities in our church and the church in Antioch in the sense of in timing and in direction and just challenges and opportunities. I don't see them as negatives at all. Every challenge is an opportunity, and it's exciting to see how the Lord may work. And so as I was studying it, I felt like that the church at Antioch was called to prayer and then to fasting. So I got to praying and thinking about fasting. And so this morning I asked the church, and by the way, one of the reasons I'm giving a synopsis is because, you know, we have people on our property that were working with children this morning that were here this morning. I saw them through the hallways. And they were saying, yeah, we heard about the message, but we weren't in there. And I know that there may be some here tonight that were not here this morning. So I don't want to rehash the whole thing, but I want to give you a foundation of what we're talking about tonight. And so anyway, as a result of studying this, I asked the church family for us to have a time, a season of fasting and prayer, and specifically on Wednesdays for breakfast and lunch, that we would have water, liquids, but no solid food. And I say all that with a request and a acknowledgement that this is not some kind of a demand or anything like that. This is totally voluntary of our church family to go to the Lord in prayer, and specifically over some issues. The first is revival in our own hearts and lives. As I have been studying fasting, I have been realizing that God has used prayer and fasting to bring revival to churches and revival in personal lives. So when I think about revival, I think about it personally in our own lives. I think about revival in our families and those that we're praying for in our families. We have families in our church that are hurting. We have needs. We have people that in our homes that we're praying for, that God would break through in their hearts and lives. And maybe children, maybe the children praying for moms and dads. I don't know, but revival in our families, marriages to be strengthened. The devil's after marriages. He wants to destroy homes. And so we'll be praying for that. And then for our church, revival in our church family here, that God would give us a measure of revival. And then for our nation. The second issue was missions. And I want you to think about the fact that there's 1.6 billion people in the world that have never heard the name of Jesus Christ. Our church is a mission-minded church. We have always been that way. And the issue would be, where do we fit in right now moving forward in missions? We have a relationship with the Nickersons in Brazil. What a fabulous opportunity we have every year to go to Brazil with college students, and not just college students, others. But folks, I have a vision for us mobilizing not just our college students, but young people, adults, all of us in some way mobilized in the world mission enterprise. The Lord has called us into the Great Commission. And if we ever lose sight of that, it's a small vision a church has. Let me say that again. It's a small vision a church has if it's only concerned about its Jerusalem. We serve an awesome God who wants to use us to carry the gospel to the world. And I don't know how you fit into that. I don't know how I fit into that. But I know this, the Lord has called us, and I've often said it this way, we're not off the hook for missions. We're on the hook for missions. And it's not only giving. Giving's a big part of it, but it's not only giving, but it's going. And so I want us to pray about that. The third thing is our reaching college students. The Lord didn't put us in Gainesville, Florida as an accident. He's got us right here, and we have a 75-year-plus history, well before my time, a 75-plus-year history of this church touching college students in a huge way. And my prayer is that we would be aggressive in loving college students and reaching them for the cause of Jesus Christ. That's the third thing. The fourth thing is for our Southern Baptist Convention, who is experiencing right now, there's been a committee appointed by Dr. Johnny Hunt, the president of our convention, who has established a committee, a Great Commission Resurgence Committee, to evaluate and to evaluate every way we're spending the dollars that God brings to our denomination to reach people for Christ. So I want you to be praying. We've been asked to pray for these matters, and I want us to be faithful to do that. The fifth thing is our indebtedness. I want us to be praying about that. Be praying about our indebtedness. We are so blessed in the sense that in this interesting time financially in the world, the Lord is taking care of us. We're not spending more than is coming in yet. No, I'm kidding. We're okay. We're okay. But it's getting tight. But God is so good, and we have been blessed, but we have this indebtedness that we face, and I think we ought to pray about it. We have a scholarship fund that we are trying to increase by $30,000, and by the generosity of God's people, we have paid about 12,000 of that 30,000. We have 18 more thousand to go to get the scholarship committee up to speed, and then we can begin to save and challenge one another in giving for future expansion. And then the sixth thing, the last thing, is our own growth issues here. We kind of busted out of the second Sunday school. We started the early Sunday school at 8:15, and you folks that come at 8:15, y'all are troopers, and I appreciate your willingness to do that. We may need some more to do that if we continue to grow in this situation we're in with our buildings and the way we do our Sunday school. It is fabulous. One thing I love about North Central is that we use our facility. Amen? We use our facility. No one can criticize us for saying, well, you have a building that just sits there and is never used. I mean, we've got some of the things I don't want to tell you go on in here. I mean, man, it's this stuff in here all the time happening. And it's exciting, and I'm excited that we do that. So I'm asking us to pray and fast for the next four Wednesdays. So specifically, that would mean that we would have dinner on Tuesday night, and then we would pray during our normal breakfast time, and then pray during our lunch time, and then have dinner and break the fast at dinner. And during the time of fasting, having water and juice and liquids, but no solid food, just to begin. As I have studied that, those that know much more about it than I do say that is the way to begin, once a week for a couple of meals like that. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 4 says this. So it was when I heard these words, this is Nehemiah, when I heard these words that I sat down and I wept. He was talking about the walls of Jerusalem being torn down and broken down in verse 3. He says, I sat down and wept in verse 4, and I mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. We find fasting. I tell you, if you will study this idea of fasting, it's very interesting. It is really all over the place in the Bible. Turn over just a few pages to the book of Esther. In Esther chapter 4, when Haman had got his desire that the king would destroy all the Jews, in Esther chapter 4, verse 3, it says, and in every province where the king's command and decree arrived, there was great mourning among the Jews, with fasting, weeping, and wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes. Very interesting. You find it in the scripture. I want you to look at Daniel. Turn in your Bibles to Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9 and verse 3. Daniel says, then I set my face toward the Lord God to make requests by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. There are many other places in the Old Testament. I'm going to talk about those in just a minute. But I want to give you a background that there is fasting happening in the Old Testament. Now, go to the New Testament. I want you to look in Luke chapter 2. I think I mentioned this morning, Luke chapter 2 and verse 37. Actually, verse 36. Luke chapter 2, verse 36 says, now there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was a great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years who did not depart from the temple but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. The other scripture that I wanted to call to your attention was our scripture from today in Acts chapter 13, verse 2, that the church in Antioch fasted and they prayed. And then also, if you look in Acts chapter 14, Acts chapter 14 and verse 23, it says, so when they had appointed elders in every church, this is Barnabas and Saul, and prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. So there were, in the appointing of those elders in those cities, they did that with fasting. That was a part of the process. Now, I also want to balance out what I'm saying with this scripture. I want you to look at Psalm 103, verse 2. Y'all are smart. Y'all have learned that we've got people quick on the draw up there on that monitor, and you don't have to look all these verses up. That's okay. I think that's wonderful. But you may want to jot them down so you can go back to them later. In Psalm 103, verse 2, the scripture says this, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. Now look at verse 5. Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. I want to balance out that it is God's will for us to enjoy good food and good things. And the scripture here in verse 5, God who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. There's a balance to fasting. Fasting is to be done as a part of prayer, but it's not to be exalted like you are more spiritual if you are fasting. You may want to write this down. It talks about David rejoicing in rest, in sleep. Okay? Somebody's saying, give me that verse. I need that verse. Psalm 3:5, all right? We're not going to read that right now. But I just want you to write that down, that sometimes we think that spirituality is equated with deprivation or with giving up something. Well, sometimes the Lord calls us to great sacrifice. But I don't want you to think that you are more spiritual because you are doing some of these, making some of these efforts when there are times that we are to eat and to enjoy that. Okay? Now, Moses fasted for 40 days on Mount Sinai. Our Savior fasted 40 days in the wilderness. Joshua fasted. David fasted. Ezra fasted. Nehemiah fasted. Daniel fasted. The disciples of John the Baptist fasted. Anna fasted. The apostles fasted. Paul and Barnabas fasted. And others fasted and prayed. As a Christian, I just want to make this general statement. As a Christian, if you choose at times to fast and pray, you're in pretty good company. I just want you to know that. If you choose to fast and pray, you're in pretty good company. Now, in Luke chapter 5, in Luke chapter 5, there's a very important scripture about fasting found in Luke 5:34. Well, I'll go back to verse 33. The heading in my Bible says, Jesus is questioned about fasting. Then they said to him, why do the disciples of John fast often and make prayers, and likewise those of the Pharisees, but yours eat and drink? Verse 34, and he said to them, can you make the friends of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and they will fast in those days. Now, Jesus is the bridegroom, was the bridegroom here on the earth, and the ascension of the Lord after the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord, when he left, he says, when the bridegroom is taken away, then they will fast in those days. So there's precedence in Scripture that there are periods of time of fasting for God's people. Now, here is the main scripture, along with that scripture in Luke 5, that we read this morning, but I want to read it again tonight. And this is Matthew chapter 6 and verse 16. We are given some very important instructions about fasting from Jesus. In Matthew 6, 16, it says this, "Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward, but you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face." So the issue is on sincerity, authenticity, not doing something to be seen on the outside, but doing something genuine to spend that time in prayer. Now, it is a little unusual that you're in church and you're called to a fast. I understand that. That's not happened to me very often. I asked one of our members today, and they said, yes, there was a time when we had done that at North Central when one of our pastors called us to fast. I thought that was interesting. I have never done that before, by the way. But I feel that at this time, this would be a healthy thing for us to voluntarily take this time and spend it in prayer and ask God for His direction and wisdom in all of these areas that we're dealing with. I don't know if you know this name, Dr. John R. Rice. Dr. John R. Rice was a Baptist pastor. He wrote a book on prayer that is a classic on prayer. In his chapter on fasting, he said this, "Fasting means," and I want to give you these statements here if you're wanting to take notes, "fasting means putting God first. One determines to seek the face of God and for a time at least to abstain from food." And then he makes this phrase, he says, "and other things too, in order to give your whole heart to prayer and waiting on God, to put prayer first before the desire for food or anything that would take away from prayer." Now, here are some other things that people have fasted from. Some have reduced their sleep in order to pray. Some have fasted on fellowship because they spend so much time in fellowship. They say, you know, I'm going to spend that time in fellowship, but I'm going to back off and spend extra time in prayer. Some in their attendance to their business and their everyday matters. So it's not only, although it's primarily food that is discussed in a fast, it's not only food that is discussed there when you talk about fasting. Wayne Grudem has a phenomenal theologian. In his systematic, here's what he says about fasting. "Fasting increases our sense of humility and dependence on the Lord. For our hunger and physical weakness continually reminds us how we are not really strong in ourselves, but need the Lord." Fasting can be a reminder of how much we need Jesus Christ. So, fasting means putting God first. That was the first thing I wanted you to know. The second thing is fasting means persistence in prayer. In the book of Luke, although fasting is not mentioned directly, I think the principle is there in Luke chapter 18 and verse 3. The scripture says that there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, "Get justice for me from my adversary." And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, "Though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me." You see, fasting would create not only a time of prayer, but more prayer, persistence in prayer, continual persistence in prayer to the throne of God. And so fasting means persistence in prayer. Number three, it is a deliberate clearing of the way for prayer. It is a deliberate clearing of the way for prayer. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, one of my favorite verses of Scripture, the Scripture says, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does easily ensnare us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." Now, you see in that Scripture, it says lay aside the sin, but then it also says lay aside the weight. Weights are good things. Weights are things that are not necessarily sinful. But there are times when we lay aside good things in order to run the race that God has before us. Food is not evil. And yet, by us fasting, we can deliberately clear the way for prayer. That's number three. Number four, fasting is claiming the answer to our prayers. It is claiming the answers to our prayers. Back in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, the Scripture says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." Fasting pictures a greater desire to bring our request to God in prayer, a greater determination and a greater faith to bring our petitions to the Lord in prayer. So we are claiming God's answer to these prayers in our life. Now, just a few things and I'll be done. Four things that we get when we fast and pray. Number one, help in trouble often comes by fasting and prayer. In Judges chapter 20 and verse 26, the 11 tribes were in battle against Benjamin. And Benjamin was defeating the 11 tribes. And the Scripture says they came to God in fasting and prayer. You see, they came to Him because they needed help in trouble. They were losing. Then all the children of Israel, that is, all the people, went up and came to the house of God and wept. And they sat there before the Lord and fasted that day until evening. And they offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And the Lord turned that situation around and they won the battle. So fasting provides help in trouble when we're in that type of situation. Number two, heavenly wisdom is received in prayer and fasting. And our scripture for that is our text from this morning. The church at Antioch was at a crossroads. They were in the middle of making decisions. Where do we go to take the gospel? Who is to go to take the gospel? What cities do they go to? How long do they stay? All of these issues. And the Scripture says they were ministering to the Lord. They were worshiping the Lord and they were fasting. And the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart Barnabas and Saul." And so we find heavenly wisdom received in prayer and fasting. Number three, Holy Spirit power comes in answer to fasting and prayer. Look at Acts chapter 10. The book of Acts. We've already covered this scripture in our study. But in Acts chapter 10, we have the story of Cornelius. And I did not catch this when we were coming through it the first time, but I've gone back and seen this. In Acts chapter 10 and verse 30, it says this, "So Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour. And at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, 'Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms are remembered in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call Simon here, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner by the sea. When he comes, he will speak to you.' So I sent to you immediately, and you have done well to come. Now, therefore, we are all present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God. Cornelius was searching for a relationship with God. He was in prayer and fasting, and the Holy Spirit came in power and answered his prayer. And he was telling the story to Peter right there in that passage. Matthew chapter 17 is my last verse, and we'll be done. Matthew chapter 17 and verse 20. Matthew 17:20. And here's the principle. Hard things are granted when we fast and pray. I have some hard things in my life right now. I have some things I've been praying about, and I have not seen a whole lot of progress. Do you? Are there some hard things that you're praying about? In Matthew 17 and verse 20, so Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Verse 21, however, these are the words of Jesus, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. There are some issues that we face that prayer and fasting will move in that situation like nothing else. Martin Luther said this about fasting. Of fasting, I say this, it is right to fast frequently in order to subdue and control the body. For when the stomach is full, the body does not serve for preaching, for praying, for studying, or for doing anything else that is good. Under such circumstances, God's word cannot remain. But one should not fast with a view to meriting something by it as by a good work. Interesting. The great reformer John Calvin of Geneva said this, to sum them up, whenever a controversy over religion arises, which ought to be settled by either a synod or an ecclesiastical court, whenever there is a question about choosing a minister, whenever finally any difficult matter of great importance is to be discussed, or again when there appear the judgments of the Lord's anger, 'tis a holy ordinance and one salutary for all ages that pastors urge the people to public fasting and extraordinary prayers. Interesting. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the 20th century German theologian and martyr, said this, Jesus takes it for granted that his disciples will observe the pious custom of fasting. Strict exercise of self-control is an essential feature of the Christian's life. Such customs have only one purpose, to make the disciples more ready and cheerful to accomplish those things which God would have done. J. Oswald Sanders, a great 20th century missionary statesman, wrote this. I thought this was very interesting to balance out this whole idea of fasting. Listen to this very wise statement. Fasting is not a legalistic requirement, but a spontaneous reaction under special circumstances. There are godly and prayerful people who have found fasting a hindrance rather than a help. Some are so constituted physically that the lack of a minimum amount of food renders them unable to concentrate in prayer. There's no need for such to be in bondage. Let them do what most helps them to pray. Some of y'all are saying, yeah, that's my quote, man. Jerry Falwell, I never realized this, Jerry Falwell wrote a book on fasting. Here's what he says, quote, an old saint once said that fasting prevents luxuries from becoming necessities. Fasting is a protection of the spirit against the encroachments of the body. When a person fasts, he has his body well in hand and is able to do the work of the master. Interesting. Then Bill Bright, who's with the Lord now, said this: it will take nothing short of the supernatural to stem the tides of judgment devastating our land. I believe that nothing else can compare with the supernatural power released when we fast and pray. We know for certain from Hebrews 11:6 and from personal experience that God rewards those who diligently seek Him. So, if God frees you up to participate, then as a church family, I would ask you to pray about those six items, whether or not you fast or not. But if God would lead you, then you could join me and others in a time where we intensify our prayer. During that time, we would normally be consuming that food for four Wednesdays, and ask God for wisdom. Let's bow our heads and hearts in prayer. Father, we love you and praise you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the way you lead us, the way you love us. And Lord, I just ask that you would bless our fellowship. I thank you, Lord, for the great victories that you are giving us, you have given us, and the victories that we look forward to. Because, Lord, we know the end of the story. We know that victory is ours, and we live on the victory side because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. Help us to walk that out. And Lord, I pray for our families. I pray for our church. I pray for us as individuals. I pray for our nation for personal revival. I pray about these issues in our church fellowship. Lord, the great challenges that are really the great opportunities for you to work. And one day we can look back and see the miracles that you have wrought in our midst. And so, Lord, we praise you and thank you that we can come to you in prayer. I pray you'd bless our church in a powerful way right now. Thank you for this time of invitation. Lord, I pray that you would bless it and do what only you can do. In Jesus' name. Without saying amen, would you stand with me? And in just a moment here, as our musicians lead us, if God is speaking to your heart about some decision that you feel the Lord leading you to make, maybe you're a guest here and you feel like the Lord is leading you to unite with us, you're welcome to come. If there's someone here that needs Christ as their personal Savior, I gave my heart to the Lord as a teenager. It's the greatest decision I ever made in my life. And it changed the course, literally the course and direction of my life. And the Lord reached down and rescued me. If God is speaking to you and you sense His wooing of your heart, then I pray that you would respond to the gospel and come. We have someone who will take an open Bible and show you how you can meet Jesus Christ as your Savior. If God is leading you in any way, maybe it is just to pray. If you feel led to do that, you can come and just pray. But we're going to sing and worship the Lord at this time. So if God is speaking to your heart, you step out for Him right now.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.